Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, we'd like to thank you for tuning in to the World Boxing Review Radio Show. Hi, my name is Aaron Snowell. They call me the Hall of Fame Trainer of Champions. Yes, today we'll be talking on the heavyweight championship fight with Tyson Fury and Dante Wilder. Boy, is it going to be a big one out there in the Staples Center. But, however, we have our radio aficionado, Bob Murray, live from Pottsville, Pennsylvania. What's going on, Bob? What are we doing, man?
Hey, I'll tell you what, man, the ground's shaking already out here. We're already in Pennsylvania. We're feeling that rumble starting out there in L.A. The ground's shaking already. How about those guys? They're going at it the other day at the press conference. Fury's ripping his shirt off. He's like, they're all ready to go at it. Two giants in the room towering over everybody else.
And yeah.
It's going to be pretty wild.
And
yeah.
We have some predictions, you know, from Anthony Joshua. We'll do all of that later on in the show. And we'll talk about the fight leading up, you know, up to this big fight tonight on Showtime. You can get the Showtime app because Showtime streaming live where you can do pay-per-view. And also, you know, I was listening on the radio. Time Warner has announced with AT&T is that they're bringing next year, they're bringing out a streaming service, Bob. And you know these collaborations that, you know, that happen a lot of times we miss when they happen, but HBO is a part of that. You know,
right,
and then
right.
You
had, new owners,
you had,
yep.
And, you know, and uh-huh. They have a lot of stuff that old film stream company that was online where you could watch old movies and stuff. They're closing down, but a lot some people are talking about, you know, Time Warner, you know, who's a big conglomerate. You remember they had the big struggle with merging because they wanted to check them out and they didn't really want
with
them
AT&T,
to merge.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah,
with AT&T, yeah,
yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah. Uh-huh.
And don't forget AT&T, they sponsored a lot of fights. And they do have a streaming portal already set up with their cell phones and tablets and all of that. So this streaming stuff, like Ira Glass talked about, we talked about streaming a long time ago, and we did stream. And we got good results from it. But our problem was we were way ahead of the curve. And people
right.
just thought, Ira Glass and myself, they said that we were crazy. We didn't know what we were talking about. But now the knowledge and technology have caught up to the age where these big companies are willing to do it, like ESPN and all of that. So it's going to be interesting next year. And boxing always has the opportunity to build a new platform in media. Don't forget when TV was the first medium, boxing was the one that NBC and CBS and ABC used early when TV just started going to build their platform because boxing already had in sports a dedicated following. So they took that dedicated following to build their viewership, and after the viewership, then they went over and when football started to rise and baseball, then they start showing them, and the rest is history, Bob.
Right, right. Yeah, yes, indeed.
Yeah.
It's the Saturday afternoon fight, you know, be on TV, sure. But,
yeah,
it's all coming back. All the streaming is the way to go. And that's we'll see what kind of numbers Showtime does tonight, too, you know, because we'll talk about the little doubleheader they have going on today, too.
They're streaming live from Canada on Showtime. But, Bob, give us the information for around the world. Let's hear what happened, and then we'll bring our guests and, you know, in and stuff like that. What's going on, Bob?
Well, first of all, we wanted to go back yesterday in case people didn't hear. You know, we want to talk a little bit right now about Jeff Horn. You know, we were saying he was going to fight last night. That was on ESPN stream yesterday morning. But, yeah, looked impressive yesterday. First round KO of, Mundine. And that was quite a good fight. So Jeff Horn's got his name back in the picture. So no doubt about that.
We said that earlier when the show, when he lost, is that if he rededicated himself and go back into hard training and stuff like that, get refocused, is that he was going to be a major player in that division. And from a first-round knockout, hey, look, he's back.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, and who do you know? He might upset somebody else. So let's give him a round of applause from down under.
He could even get back with Pacquiao even again, you know? Because he had another Pacquiao Horn fight. Who knows?
Yeah, well, this fight with Andre Broner on January 19th, you know, is a tough matchup for Pacquiao. But if Pacquiao can make it through Broner, why not him and Horn lock up together to make a rematch? But Floyd's talking about fighting Pacquiao if he can get by Broner. You know, these guys want these other guys that they know be the policemen. They look, they feel things out. But that should be a good matchup for Broner definitely needs this win. It's a big fight for him. You know, he's had social problems a lot. And he's back at it to get a big fight like this with all the social problems that he has. You know, I know he's happy, and it looks like that fight is going to go off at the MGM Grand. And what a matchup. And we'll be talking about that at a later date. But come on, Bob,
right.
What else we got going on around?
Hey, you know
world?
What? I just would also mention one thing. This is the first show now. It's our 65th show, and I started my second book. You know what that means. So we'll have to a brand new. The first one goes down in history, baby.
And 1 year, I think we done outdid a whole bunch of them guys that have been doing it for 4 and 5 years. So
there we go, right. Yeah.
Hats off to our team, man, with Tony Trim, boxing historian, Henry Hascop, boxing historian, the Hall of Famer, both of them, and yourself, Bob, the radio aficionado. We couldn't do it without you, baby.
All right, here we go. Hey, all eyes on the Staples Center in L.A., California, USA, with the much-anticipated WBC World Heavyweight title fight between the champion with a 40-0 record, 39 knockouts, Deontay Wilder, and the challenger, former champion, 27-0, 19 KOs, Tyson Fury. And, of course, the big undercard tonight features the IBF, IBO, and WBA Super World Super Welterweight Champion, undefeated Jarrod Hurd, 22-0, 15 KOs, taking on the 24-6 with 7 knockouts, Jason Wellborn. Also, Mark Anthony Barriga, 9-0, has a 12-round matchup against the 13-0 Carlos Lycona for the vacant IBF World Minimum Weight Belt. And from Reading, Pennsylvania, with a record of 32-2, 23 knockouts, heavyweight Travis Kaufman stepping in with the 29-1, 25 KOs, Luis Ortiz, who we know just lost in that 10-round TKO to Wilder back in March. But our Reading guy, Travis Kaufman, going at it tonight. Aaron, you know his father, I believe, right?
Yeah, I know Travis and his father.
And his father,
hopefully
okay, great, yeah.
Yeah, we send our best regards out to them. And hopefully that he can rise to the occasion. If he can rise up to the occasion, if he's in great shape and he has a well plan, you know, if he beats him, he puts himself right in the picture. At least he'll go in the top 10. You know what
sure,
I mean? With
sure,
a big
yeah.
win
well,
like this year over.
Tough,
yeah.
Yeah. Big, that'd be
yeah.
a big win, yeah. No
that'd
doubt.
Be a big win
also,
for him.
Yeah, that would be. Back down the road from here, Hawkinson, Delaware. Cruiserweight, Anthony Caputo-Smith, 16-8, goes at it with Badi Azamu, 29-5-1. Also on that card, the super middleweight from Glassboro, New Jersey, 28-1 with 14 KOs, Derek Webster, battles Juan Ubaldo Cabrera, 24-2. And in Washington, D.C., the fight tonight is not political. It has Tory Nelson, 18-2-3, versus Sana Turunen, 4-1-1, for the UBF World Female Middleweight Crown. And up in Skowhegan, Maine, the headliner is the 13-0 Carlos Gongora versus Antonio Chavez Fernandez as a super middleweight matchup. Indianapolis, Indiana, the super middleweight battle between Malcolm Jones, 11-1, and Les Sherrington, 37-12, is the headliner. San Antonio, Texas, will top their card with Kendall Castaneda, 14-0, fighting the also undefeated at 10-0, Gilbert Venegas Jr. Hey, another big fight happening tonight in Saltillo, Mexico, with unbeaten Luis Neri, 27-0, 21 KOs. Now, Neri, he's still suspended indefinitely by both the California State Athletic Commission and the Japan Boxing Commission, but he's also now enrolled in the VADA program, and he's fighting for the WBC silver bantamweight belt against Renault Pyle, 23-8-1. There's another guy who's had his trouble, still suspended, but it's enrolled in the program, so it's a second chance for Luis Neri. We'll see how he goes. He's a good fighter, as we know. And also down in Santa Rosalia in Baja California Sur, Cosme Rivera, 42-25-3, and Aniel Saranana, 9-7-2, vying for the vacant WBU German version super lightweight title. And in Mexico City, the welterweight matchup of Jose Luis Prieto, 26-6, 16 KOs, versus Juan Pablo Romero is the headliner. Catano in Puerto Rico will feature the fight for the WBC for Carbox lightweight title between unbeaten at 10-0 Alfredo Santiago and the 41-6-1 Jonathan Victor Barros. In Managua, Nicaragua, it's the featherweight matchup of Lester Lara, 15-9-2, and Edwin Torcero, 13-6-1 at the top of the card. The super featherweight clash of Ronald Ron versus Tony Gomez is the main event in Caracas, Venezuela. Santa Fe, Argentina will host the battle for the vacant IBF World Female Super Lightweight Crown and a fight between former IBF champion Victoria Noella Bustos, 18-5. She just lost her title back in March to Katie Taylor, so she's bouncing back here. She's taking on Enis Pacheco, 17-4-2. Sao Paulo, Brazil will top their night with the Estevan Falseo Florentino, 7-0, versus Douglas Nathan Guedes Menendez, 1-3, super featherweight contest. And here's the other part of the Showtime doubleheader we were talking about this afternoon. World title fight up north in Quebec, Canada, where Adonis Stevenson, Superman, 29-1-1, 24 KOs, fights the unbeaten Alexander Gvozdik, 15-0, 12 KOs, with the WBC World Light Heavyweight belt on the line. And a big fight tonight for Stevenson. This Gvozdik could surprise a lot of people. Also on the big card, it's Chris Nablus, 24-4, versus Marie-Yves Dekawa, 13-0. That's for the IBF World Female Super Welterweight title. And Mikhail Zemsky, 31-1, 22 KOs versus Aaron Herrera, 24 KOs with his 35-8-1 record. They go for the WBC International Welterweight Crown. Shaquille Finn, 19-2, and Dario Radician, 17-0, vie for the vacant IBF Intercontinental Super Middleweight belt. And two unbeaten heavyweights go at it when Oscar Rivas, 24-0, 17 KOs, steps in against Fabio Maldonado, 26-0, 25 KOs for the NABF title. So big night, big afternoon up in Canada. And the part about that, too, is that's going to be, as we said, streaming and also on the main Showtime channel. But it's also going to be like prime time in, over in England. So it's part of that whole game, too, to have the fight there on the time zone. And over in Europe, we'll start in Rostock, Germany, where they'll feature the GBU Continental and WBF International Super Middleweight title fight. Kamaru Moluku, 7-2, and Pablo Daniel Zamora Nievas, 33-16-1. Also heavyweight Sanad Gashi, 16-1, and Ruben Agnelmino, 33-8-1, class for the UBF European title. Heavyweights Alexander Gabrovianu, 10-0, and Oskan Suntinkaya, 28-16-2. Tangle for the interim GBU Intercontinental Crown. All highlights the battle for the interim GBU World Light Heavyweight Belt between Sukru Alte, 8-0, and Sinisi Kondik, who's 10-9. Berlin will feature the fight for the vacant GBC International Super Lightweight Belt between Bilal Massoudi, 5-4-1, and Peter Millar. And also, DeSalle tops their night with the Cristian Kristacic, 16-1, versus Juan Pedro Guglielmetti, 11-4 class. In Noose, it's middleweights Armin Aujulal and John Kulik going at it. Ronsbach will highlight the 28-1 cruiserweight Dennis Rohner, While in Groomer's Block, 11-0 middleweight, Dennis Radovan clashes with the 30-win, 3-loss, and 2-draw Ronnie Matai. Munich will highlight 12-0 super middleweight Emily Cujor stepping in against Tomas Bezvoda, 6-2. Le Moreau, France, has the bantamweight feature of Jeffrey Dos Santos, 11-1, versus Levani Sicilari, 9-5-1. In Maine, the super featherweight headliner will be Youssef Benyaya, 6-6-1 versus Berlin, and Arthur Mguia Balako, who's 5-5-2. Tarbes in the Pyrenees features a 14-2 lightweight Merrill Vegas, while in Bourges, it's Loic Kazan taking on Trajan Slavev. Cherbourg has the middleweight matchup of Ishmael Francois Millard versus Nafazi Pilipenak. Vienna, Austria has Mansur Elsayev, 8-0, crossing the ropes with Tomas Adamek for the fight for the Austrian light heavyweight crown. Pardubice, Czech Republic, tops their card with the Andres Badera versus Andres Schwartz light heavyweight class. And the battle for the vacant GBF World Super Middleweight belt will take place in Mitrovica, Hungary, where Laszlo Tarr fights Szabolcs Paksi. Zgorzele, Poland highlights the fight for the vacant German International GBA middleweight crown between Tomasz Picarillo and Kamil Trontan. Katowice highlights with Artem Karpets taking on fellow super middleweight Bartomiej Glavka. Banska Bystrica in Slovakia has Vladislav Sipo versus Joseph Kolajez for the vacant Slovakian light heavyweight crown. Rome, Italy headlines with the Semin Levine versus Fabio Piazza heavyweight clash. Cesenatico has the middleweight battle of Matteo Tignani versus Nicola Batik. Lovano tops their card with super lightweight Daniel Zagatti and Luana Kuka doing battle. In San Valentino Torrio, we'll see lightweight Sabatio Sirica and Abdella Lalu have at it. Mazzano del Torgano has super welterweight Francesco Zilli stepping in with Andrea Saba. Over in Oviedo, Spain, the super lightweight fight between Pablo Fuego and Sergio Torres tops the night. Valenciana has Izan Dura battling Edgar Martin. And on the beautiful Baleares Island, it's Victor Bonet tangling with Iago Barros in a super featherweight feature. Ascona, Switzerland tops with the female featherweights, Vicia Travato and Irma Balzazic-Adler going at it. Venerable York Hall in Bethnal Green, London, UK. Card last night tying in with the horn fight, and tonight they have a usual Saturday night with the topper as Miles Shinkwan, 14-4, takes on Joel McIntyre, 18-2, for the vacant Triple BFC English light heavyweight crown. And Aussie Hervier vies with Delon Zima for the open Triple BFC Southern Area Cruiserweight title. And it's Jack Hughes versus Ricky Little for the vacant Triple BFC Southern Area flyweight belt. And over in Birmingham, it's Ishmael Ellis, 9-0, versus Kane Bakua, 8-5, for the open Triple BFC Midlands Area lightweight title. Hull in Yorkshire features the 11-0 super featherweight Reese Moore, while in Wigan, it's Lancashire, they top with super welterweight Danny Craven. Stoke-on-Kent features the Jamal Ledoux versus Harry Matthews super middleweight contest. Skivate, Sweden has Simon Henriksen stepping in with Ahmed Rossi for the vacant Sweden welterweight belt. And Kluraveshi in Finland tops with super featherweight Tuomo Eriden clashing with Vladislav Daviadis. In Riga, Latvia, it's Vaclav Vardanyan, 18-1-1 versus the 3-0 Garnik Harutyunyan in the featherweight topper. Estosador, Russia, Umar Salamov, 22-1, takes on Emmanuel Anin, 13-1-1 for the European and the Eurasian Boxing Parliament light heavyweight and the WBO International light heavyweight title. Tambov highlights 6-0 middleweight Orkan Gaziev, clashing with Temuraz Abulatse, who's 8-5. In Istanbul, Turkey, headlines with the Serif Kuzatu Yalik, 18-4 versus Doyenisi Tiganis, 8-5-2 matchup. In Nairobi, Kenya, Everline Odero fights for the women's IBA International Super Lightweight Crown. And across the seas in Tokyo, Japan, with Valentin Hosokaya, 23-6-3, and Takashi Inagaki, 20-17-2, fight for the Japanese Super Lightweight Belt. We have an all-day affair in Osaka, topped with Kyoko Ibata, 12-7, 6 KOs, defending her WBO World Female Minimum Weight Belt against Etsuko Tada. She's 17-3-2. They headline an all-female early show, and it's Masao Nakamura, 24-3, versus Carlo Magali, 23-10-3, vying for the vacant WBO Asia-Pacific Super Featherweight title, and a 16-1 Reo Konishi versus Richard Rosales, 13-7-2. Fight for the WBO Asia Pacific light flyweight title in that later event. There we go, around the world, 27 countries today, and a lot of action, a lot of light heavyweights going at it, and of course, a big one tonight. Everybody check it out to see what happens in the Staples Center. But there you go. Lots of other action going on around the world.
Yeah. Well, Bob, how many countries?
27.
Well, 27. Oh, we're back up, huh?
We're way up there, yeah. We got a lot of ones, yeah, and then lots of action going on. So, yeah, covering the world.
Well, they like they always say, when the heavyweight division picks up, the rest of the activities with the other weight classes and people want to put on shows, you know, they want to invest money and things like that, and that's what the heavyweight division does. It's a draw. You know, something is when people see these two big bodies clash and they hear those big thundering blows, you know, there's nothing like it.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
And the heavyweight division is to be heavyweight champion of the world is the most prestigious title in sports to hold. You know, so, you know, to be a world champion, be undisputed, all that. You know, it's very exciting. And when boxers, because they don't have, you know, headgear on, you know, I mean, like football and sports like that, one-on-one, they become very noticeable. And it carries over through the ages in the sport and in communities and things like that. You know, this great work that Henry Hastop does in communities, you know, talking about these legends and why they're putting up statues and hanging plaques and, you know, Tony Trim, he's been there, all that kind of stuff too. You know, it's indeed something special, you know, when it comes to that. So out there in California in the Staples Center, Bob, with these two big heavyweights on prime time, baby, it don't get nothing better. You know, you have a classic matchup when it comes to boxer. You got, you know, a boxer puncher, Tay Wilder, who can throw a punch in one shot and it's lights out. You know,
he can knock down a tree.
And you have, you know, Tyson Fury, who is a very crafty fighter, but he can lower the boom too, like any other heavyweights. But he's more of a guy that he likes to play the cat and the mouse game, you know, where you're going to have to find him in order to beat him. That's why he's undefeated. He's a big guy. People underestimate his reach, and people underestimate Tyson Fury's skills. You know, you don't beat Vitaly Klitschko or his, I mean, not Vitaly, Vladimir Klitschko not being able to have skills. You know what I mean? You got to have skills to beat him and carry him the distance over rounds to beat him. So my view of the fight, Bob, for tonight, if Dante Wilder is going to win, he's going to have to win by knockout. I believe that Tyson Fury, as it goes down the stretch, if Wilder can't clip him with a big bomb, he's going to play that cat-and-mouse game, and if he's standing on his feet, I think he's going to get the victory. You know, because, you know, when guys are knocking guys out, you know, if you don't knock a guy out, then you don't live up to that. And I hate to say this, as good as Dante Wilder is, you know, he's – but he had to catch up with Ortiz to knock him out, if you remember.
Right,
He had to catch up with him. And Ortiz ain't as crafty as...
He was losing that fight, too, by most accounts, too.
And if he is to do anything in this fight, I hope he establishes some type of good jab because he's going to need it. Them wide looping shots, it's going to be very difficult for him to hit Tyson Fury, from my understanding and belief. But, you know, who knows? You know, somehow in the way that he throws of those wide punches, you know, they end up catching up where they need to catch up, you know,
right.
and that's a timing issue, and he's able to do that very well, and hopefully that he can do that with Tyson Fury. Let's say, you know, because Tyson Fury, this is a big fight from him being off a while, even though he tuned up. Is he tuned up well enough to step up to the plate with a Dante Wilder? Will the rust, the ring rust, show up from his layoffs? You know what I mean? Will he
right.
be
oh, yeah.
will he be crafty enough to pull these moves off against a boxer? So a great puncher like Dante Wilder. And with Dante Wilder, it only takes one punch. And when it only takes one punch, man, you have to be very, very cautious because, you know, hey, one little mistake could be lights out.
Right.
And that's
oh,
what
yeah,
it,
yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And if Dante's punching power is that good, can he slow the craftiness up of Tyson Fury? You know,
right.
And this is what creates the matchup. So I'm going to say Dante Wilder, if he's going to win, he's going to have to knock him out. Okay? And
mm-hmm.
Yeah. If Tyson Fury wins, he's going to have to win going the distance because Dante Wilder is a well-conditioned fighter. You know, he don't show them signs of, you know, very much fatigues and things like that. You don't see it in Dante Wilder. So, but Bob, we're going to be getting back to that, and we'll talk about Anthony Joshua's prediction. Okay, but we have our very, very special guest, Bob, and we'd like to thank everybody for tuning in to the World Boxing Review Radio Show. My name is Aaron Snowell, the Hall of Fame Trainer of Champions, and our radio aficionado, Bob Murray, and our special guest, Juan De Leon. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. Thank you for having me. Give me this opportunity to share a little bit of the experience that we had together back then in the 80s, you know, and now that I'm just continue working in the beautiful sport of boxing. And thank you for you and to Bob and all those radios or listening.
Good to have
you.
Good to have you.
Yeah. Hey, look, man. Are you in Buffalo? Are you in Puerto Rico? You know, where are you at?
Listen, you know, I live in Buffalo, but you know how boxing is, Aaron. You know, so I just moving around. I'm in Puerto Rico. I have some family. I still have my family in Puerto Rico. I do business in Puerto Rico through the boxing. But I'm around the world, you know, like you did, you know, back then, you know, when you was with Mike Tyson and all those people that you worked, all those world champions, Team with a Spoon. I'm so happy, you know, I'm from all over, from whatever place they give me love, that's the place
you
that
got,
I live.
You got that right. And
hey, I was in Buffalo a while ago, back in the 80s. I was in Buffalo. Tonawanda.
Wow, nice. Yeah. Oh, that's how I live. That's how I live, Tonawanda.
Tonawanda, okay, we could have been neighbors.
and let me tell you, Juan, when his brother, this is when the cruiserweight division basically got started. He was in the training camp in Orwell, Ohio, with his brother, Carlos Sugar De Leon, who ended up beating Marvin Campbell for the WBC cruiserweight championship. And man, oh man, your brother was something, and you were something, and it was just one big happy family affair. You know, your brother. You know, I worked with your brother some when he was there, man. And when people thought there was no way he was going to go win, he pulled it off, right?
Yes. Yeah, it was. It, yeah. You know, sugar, you know, it's a great, first of all, it's my loving brother, you know. I love every of my brother, but he's the older one, and we always, as a younger, trying to follow the step of the older brother. And he always give us a great, 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 great example as a brother. And beside my brother, he become like my father, because my father was, you know, was present, you know, around us, because, you know, him and my mom were divorcing. But he took over, you know, being like the brother and the friend and the father role, which, you know, that's why you saw me there. I was only 15 years old when I was in camp with all of those guys. I was the younger in the camp, you know. Back then it was Sugar, you, Team with a Spoon, Chavez, who mentioned who no was in that camp, dancing camp when down in the 80s when Dan got the control of boxing, you know. So we got all the famous fighters and one time in the campaign. That gave me so much experience and love from all of you, because I was the younger one, and especially you, because you carried me, you know. You was young and the group of the trainers, and I was the younger of the kid, the person who was in the camp and I'm trying to follow you. And now, you know, I'm so happy. You know, thank you for all everything you did for my brother and my family.
Yeah, man. Thank you, man. But you definitely have made your mark by yourself in boxing. You know, just give me a list of these guys. I know you got world champions, you got contenders and all. Just run it down for me, man. Run it down, because I'm happy, man, that you're on the show with me.
Well, I have since I was working with Baby Joe Macy, that you know, I catch his kid with 11 amateur fights, and when I moved to Buffalo and I started training him, and in 1995, his father walked into the gym with this kid like about 180 pounds. He said, "I want my kid make the Olympic in the 1996." I said, "You know," so he walk off and talk. He walk away and talk to the owner of the gym, and Mr. Jackie Donnelly. He was one of the best, you know, lightweight, you know, fighters back then,
right,
in the 30s. And he gave Mr. Macy he's going to be impossible to this kid could make the Olympic team. So that would give me the opportunity to become a trainer there. And I advise them, if he would like to make the Olympic, we got to work harder than anybody, which he did. So he was close to make the Olympic, but he did a real good job, and then, you know, he became a pro, and that started the part of being a trainer. That's what went with Baby Joe Macy. I brought him, and I just introduced Joe to a lot of people, you know, in boxing, you know, because sometimes it's not who you are, it's who you know in boxing. And then,
that's right.
And then he did real good in that, and, you know, he got the, you know, he was ranked number one, and the opportunity that we're going to fight Mike Tyson, that he's going to make a lot of money. He fought Vasily Chirov, and he got hurt, you know. So, and from this point on, I just told him to stop boxing. Boxing is, people think it's not easy, you know. You sacrifice so many things, you know, even your life in the ring. And it's hard, you know. So I told him to retire. And from there, you know, I feel like, I'm not having nothing, you know, to do. So I went to Puerto Rico and I signed Orlando Fenomeno Cruz, which, you know, he was Olympian in 2000, you know, with Miguel Cotto, the same group of Miguel Taro, all over with Universal Promotion from Puerto Rico, Javier Bustillo gave me the opportunity to open the door in Puerto Rico and do boxing there. And from there, you know, so I just started looking some other good fighters around, and I found three good fighters, you know, at the beginning. One of them went to the war game in Italy 2010, Mr. Cristian Peguero, who, you know, for me, he just, I don't know, you know, was ready, and I know was there in Puerto Rico, and we took a fight, and he lost the first fight. That gave me a bad disappointing, you know, to see a kid like him, you know, get knocked out in 30 seconds and ruin his career, you know, like he make a little bit, you know, did the right things at that time. So that may force me to go to Puerto Rico and start dedicate time to the other fighter, one-on-one with them. And that's when I met Mr. Alberto Machado, who is right now a world champion, you know, and
that's
then
right.
The Angel Tito Acosta is 108-pounder, is a world champion. And then from there, you know, so when you do good at boxing and you show them that you love them and you do good, they are the one who's going to talk to the other fighters. Oh, listen, this guy helped me. This guy respect me. This guy do this one for me. This guy do this. This guy do that. So that creates some good things for me, flavor, you know, and I want to bring fresh air to boxing, you know, and in Puerto Rico, but that give me the opportunity where Puerto Rico, remember, it's an island. It's a land of a lot of champions. Even, you know, we only 100 by 35, but we have over 60 champions. You know, if you go geographic, you know, so we only 3.8 million people in Puerto Rico compared to United States, Mexico, you know, all Europe, you know. So if you look, you know, I believe we the mecca of boxing, you know. I mean, I feel sorry for a lot of people, you know.
Yeah.
Yes.
And plus, man, Tito Trinidad Bennett, man, what a great champion, him and his father, you know, Edwin Rosario, you know. Man, the list is long, long, fine, but distinguished. Just to name some real, real great ones from this era. But look, a great champion, Colto. You and Colto have a very special relationship, you and Miguel Colto. It, you know, just talk a little bit about your relationship with Colto and what does that mean to you. What a great fighter.
Well, you know, first of all, you know, I've been watching Miguel since, you know, he was in the amateurs because Sugar's son used to train together in the Olympic the national team from, because he was in the same time, and I was looking at Miguel, and I know he want to become a special fighter when he become a pro, which he did, and he is. And Miguel and I, we don't have that much relation to talk each other at the beginning because, you know, he was involved into his career, which I love that, you know, what he did. Even he had the promotion company that he built with his father because the way for them was to give back to the boxing for where they make so much money, give something back. I was beautiful when I started reading about his history, and then I met Mr. Hector Soto and Brian Perez, who they are the person who run the company. So I sit down with them and I bring a couple of my fighters to them, of kids that they want to fight, that I believe they have the talent, and they open the door for me. That's when I get together with them and explain my experience, you know, what I did, you know, I'm boxing through my brother, the relationship that I have with organizations, with other people, coaches, and the knowledge that I have, you know, in training, you know, because people think one person could become the only person who could train. Now, in my team, we had a bunch of people, and I explained to them that idea, what I want to do with my fighters, you know, that I don't want to rush, that I want to go nice and easy, and they accept that with me. And that opened the door, and we just started developing fighters. Then when Miguel retired,
well, you let the fighters grow, right? You let
them
grow into being what they want to be, champion of the world or a great fighter, instead of some guys want to rush guys right off the bat, and they end up getting beat real early in their career, and they can't recover from it. You know what I mean?
Well,
and when you say take your time to develop, that's the best way in boxing to be successful. And it shows because your track record of all of these guys are second to none.
Yeah, so, you know, so, and then, you know, the problem, you know, right now that, you know, the kids want to become a champion, but to become a champion is not easy. You need to have a great team behind. Besides, you know, you got the skills. Because you have a skill, but they know how to management you. They know how to move you, the pieces, you know, together. Eventually, somebody going to beat you, you know what I mean? No matter what. I don't care who. You got to be, you know, so I have my respect for Floyd, you know. So he's a special, you know. So, but it's not too many people like that in boxing, you know. So, but the point
here,
you know, when I sit down with Miguel and I said, Miguel, the reason why I'm here with you now is because now you're done with boxing as a fighter. Now you're a promoter. I would like you together with the fighters, you know, the fighters that really, you know, represent your business, represent, you know, your money, because you invest money on them as well, I do. and we had great people. You know, I had a great people, and I explained to him that I had a sporting medicine doctor, I had physiology, I had a physiotherapy people, I had a massage people, I had a chiropractic, I have a running guy. I mean, team, if I keep mentioning you, you know, I had a great team of people behind all those fighters that they doing it not because money. Everybody, you know, donate time for them. That's the way we working with the fighters. So I'm not a person who want to come and work with the fighters and give money from the beginning. No. Yeah, I'm a manager, but you know how the manager, you know, Aaron and Bob, they are, you know. So they always thinking of money. Yeah, I know all of them, but I just put money. You know what? If you look at the list that I send you, Alberto Machado, when you look his record, my first payday, and I don't even make the percentage completely because I took a little bit. I just took half of what I was supposed to make. It was at his 75.
Yeah.
You look, Angel Acosta, you look at Busrec when he fought you, Tony. That was my first payday, but then I invested money on them back, you know. So right now, so all those kids, I'm working. Machado got his own house already. Miguel helped me to build this with them. Now we just, I want to be the sample of Machado, of Miguel, and I told them, listen, this is the blueprint you have to follow. If you somebody you want to be as a person in boxing, be, you know, with the respect of Tito Trinidad, because they my friend and they grew up next to Sugar, you know. So when Sugar was fighting with Don and Jamil Chade, he was both managers. Tito was fighting on the card of Sugar. You know how that worked, you know what I mean? So the manager making money with Sugar, and he was bringing Tito on there, you know, since Sugar gave a lot of advice about the business, about the how the
Jamil Chade was something. You remember Jamil Chade?
Yeah,
he was something, wasn't
you know, so he? Was, you know, so he is. I mean, he's gone, you know, God bless him. He's retired. He's rest in peace. He passed. You know, but he gave me so much knowledge. A couple of days ago, I was looking at my album, and I see some pictures, and I took pictures, you know, because I want to post something. Because a lot of people talk sometimes bad about him. He did this, he did that. But he was a person, he got good eyes to pick up the good fighters.
Yeah.
And he in Puerto Rico, he got
he did.
The best fighter from Puerto
he
Rico.
Did.
He got Alfredo Gomez. He worked with Tito Trinidad. He worked with some other fighters when there was half of the career done that he built the Lady Sugar. You know, so he know how to, because he know how to have that relationship. But the point here, you know, going back to what we're talking about Miguel is a special person. People say Miguel like, oh, he looks so serious. No, man, no. You open the heart to Miguel and you sit down with Miguel Cotto and you talk to Miguel as well, you know, let Miguel talk to my fighters. Because you know how there is a promoter sometimes come and tell things to the fighter that the fighter that the promoter wants the fighter here, and sometimes they you know, the fighters confuse things. You know, no, Miguel is 100% loyalty there with the guys. I sit down with Miguel, and between Miguel and I, Brian Pérez and Hector Soto, we sit down with the fighters, and we explain to them how they got to do the boxing. Not only as boxer in the gym at the fight, off the ring, out of the boxing. Become a great person. Become a, you know, a leader. That's what I like from Miguel Cotto. You know, that he teach the guys. He's not a person who promoted who waiting for them making money to make money. No, Miguel is a great person, and he's going to be one of the biggest promoters not too long. Right now, he believed in me when I signed Machado and Tito, and I went and I talked to him. And I said, Miguel, one thing I'm going to let you know is a lot of promoters from Puerto Rico, they want to sign with a promoter from the outside of Puerto Rico to build the fighters. I don't want to do that with you. I know you have this relationship. I know you have the financial to work them. I will help you. I will make less money. The guy willing to make less money. Just let them roll. Take them easy. Bring them when they have the opportunity. And I promise you, Miguel, you will have champions on Alberto Machado and Angel Acosta. They will become your first two world champions. If me and you put the knowledge together with Mr. Pérez and Mr. Soto and the fighter that I have, I promise you're going to have the first two champions after 15 years you've been promoted. He listened to me.
Yeah.
He listened to him, the group. I sit down everybody, and I talk to all the teams that I have the professional team that I have, and we work one way to help the kid, and the kid let him let us do the job. That's the reason why we have two champions.
And working together, teamwork makes the dream work. Let's bring our radio aficionado, Bob Murray. And Bob, any questions for Juan?
I think that's a wonderful story about Miguel. But, yeah, what was it like to see some of those great fights with Miguel? What was his best fight in your mind? There's a lot of them. Just wondering your perspective on that.
Miguel fight?
Which fight stands out?
You know what? One of the great fights that I see Miguel there was when he fought Chen Mosley. You know, what's that?
Okay,
What's a hard fight for Miguel as well, you know, with that Jura. You know, it was a two great fights that I believe Miguel did good.
Okay,
Miguel never said no to nobody. But, you know, the fight that I love for Miguel was, you know, the most that I love was, honest with you, was when he came back and he fought Margarito. Because, you know, he got something in his heart, you know, that they cheating on him. They hurt him, you know, bad.
Okay.
That made me cry, you know, because Miguel is a great fighter. He's a role model for us fighters in Puerto Rico, and he was hurt. And when he got the opportunity to fight Margarito back, I know he did it with his heart. You know, he put the passion in training. He put, you know, his mind was set up. Man, he hurt me. He's trying to hurt me because that's the boxing about. But, you know, so you're trying to hurt the other guy and the good way, but when you go and you're cheating and you do something wrong and that's kind of hurt the other person that you fight with, you know. So, and when that happened, I was so happy for Miguel. I could see, you know, when the fight was done, the referee, the doctor stopped the fight, you could see Miguel's face and his face expression. Like, he was like, boom, thank you, God. You know, you give me the opportunity to beat this guy, the person who really hurt me. You know, he did something. But this is part of the boxing. A lot of things going on. I hope it'll never happen to my fighters. I don't need to do that, what Margarito team did. I don't have nothing against them. They're my family. I'm my friends. I know them together, Mr. Capetillo. But, you know, so in boxing, we should keep everything nice and clean because, you know, at the end of the world, it's not the people who are going to be outside the ring. It's the two kids who fighting say they're at the risk of their life, you know. But that wasn't one of the most memorable fights of Miguel Cotto to me, you know. That revenge with Margarito besides the best fight of Miguel to me was when he fought with Chen Mosley.
Yeah, well, go ahead, Bob.
No, I just wanted to get another question in on a more serious note. If you could just tell us how Puerto Rico is doing these days in the recovery from the hurricane. We hear a lot of different things. What's your personal regard on that, on the recovery there?
Thank you, Bob. Thank you very much. You know, I could feel like, you know, through this, you know, system, you know, I could feel you feel worried about what happened in Puerto Rico. But so far, we've been doing good, you know, so we get a lot of help from all the country, you know, brothers, you know, families. We're strong. We're strong, you know. We are a little island with a real heart, you know, strong heart. We're never going to give up. We're going to keep, you know, working hard. We're going to get up. But so far, you know, the most worry was, you know, that a lot of people lose the power. But right now it's coming back and we're regaining and we're helping each other. And I believe, you know, and I want to say that what's the best thing happened. But since that happened, you know, so you could see the unique of every person. You know, you could see the unique from people who live next door and they don't talk to each other, how they help each other, you know what I mean? So that unique from all the Puerto Ricans from out of Puerto Rico, you know, push hard to bring there. See all the athletes like Carlos Beltran, JJ. Barea, all the big, even Alberto Machado, Angel Acosta, Edwin Valentin, all those fighters that I sent you a list, they was volunteer to help people. You know, like, listen, I'm talking to you and I got some my skin like bump, you know, because I could see that you need, you know, that how people are unique in Puerto Rico, you know, to help each other. And I'm so happy, you know, for all those people who send and pray for us and send so many people to help, you know, the Puerto Rican community. Appreciate it. Thank you for for that.
It's never too late. So we want our fans to around the world, you know, if you love boxing and you're listening to the show, don't forget about Puerto Rico. You know, they produced a lot of world champions, but the community needs help. You know, continuously to send goods and money. You know, you're never without, you know, needing of money. That helps with meals. It helps with water and little things. People who don't have electricity, candles, oil to light candles, you know, just the basic little things that we may take for granted. Having electricity, having food. Over there, there's still raw areas. You know, when most people think about Puerto Rico, they think about the fine beaches. But, you know, they have a farm area. They have a mountain area. And these mountain areas and these farm areas are hard to reach to get there. And sometimes they're left out. And we're just saying continue to send so all the people in Puerto Rico with all that sunshine, all of that beaches can bring it back to its destiny. And America needs to continue to try to help. We have so much here in America, and you need help. And you are part of America. Sometimes people forget Puerto Rico is part of America. You know what I mean? I've been there many times in Puerto Rico, and I love Puerto Rico. Puerto Rico has given us so much, and now it's time for you to get a little bit back for what y'all have given. You know, you're giving a lot of things with people, music, all kind of things, lawyer, all those different things. All that life has to bring. Y'all do a good job over there in Puerto Rico, man. And working together works. And, you know, sometimes through difficult state, it brings the best out in people. And Puerto Rico has always been that place for love and caring and understanding. You know, people always been like that, real emotional, you know, hug, eating, you know, with the, you know, Hector Camacho. Oh, yeah, man. Macho time, baby. You know, You know, Gladys Rosa, who was a PR person with Don King Production that handled a lot of the Hispanic fighters, you know. Oh, man, when all of us would get together, Hector's mother, his brothers, his sisters, same way with the De Leon family, and become in food. Oh, my God. Oh, baby. The chili and beans, baby. Oh, man.
Oh, my God. Especially on this season, Christmas time, Puerto Rico get crazy, eating everywhere. You know, they have some great food in Puerto Rico, you know, so I'm so happy, you know, be part of that little island, which is, you know, like you said, we got a good heart, and we're willing to help anybody, no matter who they are, where they're coming from. Our door in Puerto Rico is open for anybody, you know, anybody come to Puerto Rico and gonna show that love that you feel when you went there.
Yeah, man, and Tito Trinidad, him and his father trained him, man. We became, when Tito Trinidad first came from Puerto Rico, man, when he was young, and his father, he used to, just like Carlos and everybody, he was in training camp with me for a long time, him and his father, man. Mm-hmm. And the relationship that you form, man, people just fall very close to each other, very special to each other in a working environment to bring out the best. And let me tell you, those names were the best in boxing. You know, and I'm happy for this little island, like you said, to produce all of these world champions. You know, oh, man, it's just amazing what you do. But before we go, let you go, because we have to get into some of these other things that's happening around the world. Tonight's fight in L.A. at the Staples Center with Tyson Fury and Wilder. What do you think? Give us your perspective of tonight.
Well, it's going to be a great fight. This is what really, really America needs. We need the heavyweight, you know, division to really to bring boxing. Boxing is good in the United States. But, you know, it's like a way we say, you know, so but when you have the heavyweight, that's like the Super Bowl, bigger than Super Bowl, the heavyweight division, you know. So, and that's going to be a great fight. Myself, I love Wilder. He's hungry. Even you see, got 45, but he's still hungry. He got the power. I know he's. I was concerned. This is my part. I'm concerned now with him about being 212. You know, and he's tall. He's about around like 6'5", 6'6", 6'6", something like that.
He's 6'9".
And to be like 212, now he's fighting a guy like about an inch taller than him, and it's a 240 something, I think. No, yeah, 256, I think he was. He's like 44 pounds over him, and this guy is dirty, man. He's a dirty. You know what I mean? When he's going to fight there, he played the dirty role. You know, he's going to be holding, he's going to be doing, he knows how to survive. So it's going to be a tough fight. He's going to be a tough fight for Wilder. That I believe, you know, who I give my edge goes to Wilder for the speed, the right hand before he landed. But it's going to be a great fight. The fan is going to enjoy the fight because you know how Fury, Tyson Fury is. He's funny when he fights, and he's going to become a little clown there. But, you know, Wilder has to be careful because if this guy put the weight on him and he cannot hurt Fury at the early rounds and the fight keep going, moving up and up and up. So the fight going to start getting ugly. I think, you know, it's going to be Wilder by decision, you know, a close decision. Mm-hmm. And the fan going to enjoy the fight because it's going to be a great fight. I hope it can end early, you know, and on Wilder's favor, but I believe it's going to be a close decision for Wilder, you know. It's going to be a little ugly fight. Watch it.
All right. Well, look, Juan, we'd like to thank you for coming on the World Boxing Review radio show with myself and Bob Murray here. Man, anytime you want to come back on the show, you let us know, man. We'll have you back on, man. What a great interview. Tell Carlos I said hello and the family, and God bless you, Juan, with everything that you're doing in boxing.
Thank you very much, Juan. Thank you to Bob, and thank you to us. Listening up the Block Talk Radio, you know, and I hope they enjoy it. And thank you for giving me the opportunity to express myself, to talk about my island, to talk about my fighter. Keep the eyes on those list of the fighters that I give you. And I hope one day, you know, Aaron, I see you in boxing. We need some coaches like you back, you know, because boxing is not the same like back then, you know. So, and I need coaches like with the knowledge and the experience that you have. You know, so
thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you very much. A big hug.
All right. We'll be talking. Thank you, Juan.
Okay. Thank
you.
Yeah,
Bob. Bye-bye. In 90 seconds, Bob, we have Anthony Joshua, who made a prediction. He said most definitely Wilder.
Uh-huh.
So this is very, Anthony Joshua said, definitely Wilder. And Wilder on the guarantee side of the pay-per-view, $4 million. So he got $4 million guaranteed. Tyson Fury, $3 million guaranteed. On the backside, Wilder stand, if the pay-per-view does the numbers that they think it's going to do, stands to make $14 million. Okay. So, and Tyson Fury a little bit more because he took a lesser guarantee. But look, Bob, in closing, do you have anything? We got 30 seconds.
I'm going to tell you my prediction. I think Wilder takes him out early. I think it's not going to go too far. Wilder with an early KO. I don't think he's going to play the games. I think he's going to go in and just fight him and go toe-to-toe. Avoid all that nonsense that Fury does. I think he's taking him out early. That's my prediction.
We'll
see.
Well, it looks like it's going to be a Wilder night. Oh, boy.
No, it's going to be Wilder. There we go.
Yeah.
All right.
Hey, look, We like to thank you for tuning in to the World Boxing Review Radio Show. My name is Aaron Snowell. They call me the Hall of Fame Trainer of Champion, our radio aficionado, Bob Murray. Henry Hascop will be back next week, our Hall of Fame boxing historian, and also Tony Tribb, man. See you next week, 11 o'clock to 12. Thank you.
Thank you for listening. See ya. Bye-bye.